scump prasa.
That's our intro. Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show with two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Judy.
Cool. Nice to see you again. I accidentally deleted last week's episode.
We had done the entire thing.
It's
in the ether.
It was ready to be edited. And I don't know, when I looked for the file, it was just gone.
Gony bags. You sent me the message and I was like,
I told you Alzheimer's is in my family.
Is there not just like a long episode?
No, because I made a point of once we were done recording with the other one, I've copied it over and then I
fucking okay.
So
that has to be red, eh?
Red is go.
Red is dead.
In this instance.
Yeah.
Red means go.
Red means go.
So welcome once again. I apologize for not putting out, we apologize for not putting it out.
I don't apologize.
He doesn't, yeah, because it was my fault. But anyway.
No, it's not about fault. I just don't apologize.
That's true. Jody's a right.
No one's entitled to an episode.
Jody can be a right cut sometimes. But, and I mean, sadly, it was a great episode.
It really was. You had to be there.
You'll never know.
You had to be there.
But on that note, let's get into the news.
Our news and shorts.
So as we spoke about like a couple of weeks ago, James Gunn is now in charge of DC, mm-hmm. like the movie section.
Big screen.
Our. And he just flat out asked fans what movies they
want
to see.
What do you want?
Yeah.
it's a refreshing take on, you know, what Warner Brothers.
I don't know why more people don't do it, actually.
But he's been busy, eh? Like, apparently they...
Well, he's earning millions. I hope he's been busy.
That. But him and Peter Safran also sat down with that Zaslav guy, the guy from Discovery.
Discovery Zaslav.
And it's not his first name.
Yeah, that is his first name.
Discovery's Zaslav.
No, his name is Discovery Zaslav.
My bad.
Yeah. Like, he's supposed to be the fact checker, yeah.
But in any case, they're plotting out the next 8 to 10 years, but he's also getting the fans' input on this. He's
like,
which characters do you want us to cover? Which one should we actually do?
Yeah. And which ones should they do?
Well, you know who he name dropped in the meetings before? James Gunn.
Ooh.
Batmite. Which is so perfect for
him. Yeah.
it might confuse the Batman universe a little
bit.
Yeah,
just
more.
A tad.
Just a bit more.
It's like Superman's Mr. Mitzelplex. That's a, that motherfucker also. So might as well bring in that guy. But who would you like to see? Is there anyone in you?
I would just like to see them do the existing characters well. But I would love to see Nightwing on the big screen.
Yeah. Yeah,
Nightwing,
I agree.
The Ash storyline that was teased already.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Nightwing is dope. Bloodhaven would be amazing to see in the. But there's a storyline where it's Batman and the Outlaws now. So he gets like rejects, kind of, and makes a team. And Clayface is part of that team.
Oh yeah.
And then
you
Orphan,
wanted Clayface for a while.
Yeah, right? But Clayface is such a cool character because he just wants to be an actor.
Yeah. That's all.
No, but I mean, he's just got himself into little bad situations and shit. But, you know, it's also that duality. He's fighting a fucking, you know, the clay overtaking him or whatever. But he's part of the team. There's this mute little girl who's like, was raised as the ultimate assassin named Orphan.
Kind of like what's his name? Batman's lighty, Damien?
Yeah, kind of yeah, thing, like, but less obnoxious because she can't speak. So, like, he has this team, and this team has to figure things out, like coming together. And then that team would be cool to see, but we'll never see that, I think.
Well, I mean, years ago you would have said we'll never see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, I never read Guardians of the Galaxy.
But that's obscure, though. Yeah. I mean, you are, like, Mr. Comic Book.
Whoa, easy tiger. I'm not.
Okay, you are Sir Comic Book.
His Majesty.
His Royal Majesty.
His Royal
the comic
Highness.
Book reader. But the other reason I wanted to sneak this news in is, did you hear who James Gunn is beefing with, apparently?
Elon Musk.
No.
Oh, okay. Probably. That's everyone.
Who's not? Have you purchased your blue ticket?
No, I have not. I have not. But that is bananas.
That is crazy.
Because they turn. We're not going to get into it. Jesus Christ has an account. But like someone faked a Lilly, the pharmaceutical company, yes. Lilly, and tanked their stock. Their stock tanked after that.
Yeah, because they said insulin is free.
Yeah.
And then they said something else right after. And then the actual company had to say, like,
no, this is not true.
Crazy. And in any case,
yeah.
James Gunn is beefing with The Rock. Because The Rock has got a very clear idea of where he wants the DCEU to go, which is obviously Black Adam centric.
Yeah.
And James Gunn is like, bruh, no, that's stupid. Yeah. Your movie's not that quiet. Why would we build the entire universe around you when your movie is like.
But I agree with that.
Yes.
Also, like, he comes from Marvel. We're in Marvel, yes, they have the big stars, but. Everybody kind of gets a time to shine.
Yes.
And you can't just rely on just because it's The Rock.
he doesn't have as much pulling power.
You haven't seen Black Adam yet.
No, but, me as well. But the movie did very well opening week. So it like came out like huge numbers.
Yeah, but it's The Rock.
And then
the drop off, yeah.
The drop off was hectic. Mm. Like crazy drop off.
But that's the thing. So the quality of the film has to match the hype.
Yes. And if it doesn't, you're going to have
then
that drop off.
You have the drop off, yeah.
But now The Rock is like, no. Because he did all the work to get Henry Cavill back, apparently. He went over people's heads to do that.
Classic Rock.
And then he wants them to now focus on Black Adam and Superman and building up their fight as like the whole DCE.
Nice.
No.
I don't want to see that.
No.
I don't want to see that. I thought there was a like a Superman Brainiac thing coming.
Well, that was. I mean, the Brainiac thing in the game was really good. Mm. That
Justice League Injustice game. Too.
Yeah. But
more injustice.
Yeah, injustice.
Look, that comic run is one of the best ever.
And Brainiac's never been done. So
yeah,
like that would be a cool new character to do.
Oh yeah, no, fuck The Rock, man. You must do something else.
And Hobbs also, and Shaw again. In Rock, Paper, Scissors. Yeah. Gun beats Rock.
Gun beats Rock.
The week. I mean,
100%. Gun beats all of them. No, but I mean, Gun is in charge now.
He's in charge. He should ignore The Rock. I know, look, Dwayne Johnson has done some incredible stuff, but this is
He mustn't be a big baby, man.
Look,
I will have a better opinion once I see Black Adam.
Even then, like, I still don't think he's someone to build this franchise.
No, for sure, 100%. But I mean, for us to be...
completely...
Yeah, to have the full picture.
Yeah, I get you.
I feel you too. So yeah, Lekker, we'll see if he actually does what people say.
I'm looking forward to it.
He did this on Twitter, no?
Yeah.
I must actually go read.
He launched a new social media profile on Mastodon, and his latest post asked which DC characters who haven't been put to film yet do you want to see most on big screen.
I'm going to go check out that thread, see what
Clayface. People
do. Yeah, Clayface. I want to see
Clayface. All of our brasser, Clayface. No comment on this thing. Get Ross.
No, Clayface is just like super interesting, and he can be anyone, which is quiet.
You see.
Ugh, poor Alec Baldwin.
Not poor Alec Baldwin.
Shame.
Not poor Alec
Baldwin. Shame, man. So, we spoke about a story that that was the beginning of last year? When was it?
Yeah, that last story year? Was a while ago. Mm. I feel like it was early this year.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin murdered a woman accidentally. Is that?
He was murdered. Oh,
don't laugh at that, Jody.
He contributed to her death.
Yes.
Is, I think, the... politically correct and legal terminology for this.
Okay. He contributed to a death.
Because remember, he maintained
the cause of a death. That he didn't pull the trigger.
That he didn't pull the trigger for the longest time.
So the shot came from the grassy knoll.
Magic.
No, a woman died, Jody. I have somebody's face.
What's her name? I vaguely remember.
But get yourself together.
Helena Hutchins.
Yes. I'm obviously projecting. So, Alec Baldwin caused the death of this woman somehow. And it was a big story. It actually halted production and whatever. But now he's suing part of the crew.
Yes.
Because he claims that he has lost out on work and he's been fired from jobs because of this whole controversy.
Because his reputation has been tarnished because of this incident. What's interesting, though, is that he is now opening himself up to also be investigated on what actually happened.
Yeah.
with this whole thing.
It's a double-edged sword because he claimed to not have pulled the trigger.
But he seems to now imply he did pull the trigger, but they gave him a live gun. But the gun
was tainted, yeah.
They gave him a live gun. No, it was.
It was cursed.
No, it's what, like, in terms of the movie, like, what would normally have happened, he was given a live gun where it shouldn't have been a live gun, and no one checked. Like.
But that, look, I don't disagree that he's definitely lost work because of this. 100%. But whether you sue the...
Why sue the crew? What's going to come from that is my...
Money, I guess. That. I don't know.
So the crew. We've spoken about their poor pay.
Yeah, they're terrible pay. Plus, look, they're never going to work again. Anyone involved in this fucking... They're not going to work in this industry again.
No. And I mean, there was already like some nepotism and stuff involved with that whole incident. Yeah. So,
but you know, like in Hollywood, there's a list. Mm. Of actors. It's unspoken. It's like a secret list of bankable stars and whatever. And it's been going on for decades. Mm-hmm. And then one story came out where... What was that? What's it, Kevin Costner baseball movie? With Susan Sarandon?
Field of Dreams.
That's the one. Love the film. Mm. Couldn't think of the name. So... For Field of Dreams, they didn't want Susan Sarandon because she wasn't on the list.
Of bankable stars.
Yes.
There's an actual list.
Like 100%. Like this person like was anonymously talking about this list. And she wasn't on the list because she had starred in some movies that didn't do so well. Mm. So you now drop off the list.
Yeah.
But then she went to the audition and she flew from wherever she was because she heard, got wind of like, oh, she's not on the list. And she went to the executive and fucking... Vice them a dung like Susan Sarandon does and said, fuck it, I'm going to vice you now. Mm. And then she got back on the list because she was cast in the movie and the movie was a hit. Yeah. But she's amazing. If you don't follow, like, I love Susan Sarandon just because she's like super political and she's like...
She's quite activist, but also she's very diverse. Like her current, what's the latest thing she's done? Rick and Morty playing that thing.
Yeah, she does all sorts of shit.
She does. She's the best. She pops up in random places.
But now... Alec Baldwin is 100% off the list.
No, yeah. He's off the list.
And I just think like, yo, my bro, you just brought this back into the public eye.
Exactly.
With this lawsuit.
Exactly. And there's no way that this looks good for him is kind of my take from this. Even if he wins the case, like everyone knows there was negligence.
Yeah.
But he also contributed here.
But like, in Hollywood, if you just wait long enough, things blow over, right?
That's generally what you should do. And he's not letting it blow over. I need the wind to blow faster.
I think it's also because he's probably got like, he's divorced now.
Isn't he newly married with like young kids?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, he went through a divorce. So
he was with Kim Basinger in the past.
I think he just has to pay too much shit to maintain his lifestyle. Yeah. And now he's like, fuck, I need to get...
He has to support all the other Baldwins.
So let me sue these people.
You know Daniel
underpaid. Because he's the best Baldwin. Who's going to step up to be the best Baldwin now?
Daniel, Billy, Steven. None of them are making money. None.
Who's got the chops?
The lamb chops?
No, who's got the chutzpah, the chalabalas, to step up and be the next big Baldwin?
No, the more important question is, who the fuck cares?
Listen, they are a dynasty.
Liberal, very liberal.
They are a dynasty. I mean, they've all been in the public eye somehow, whether it's B grade or C grade.
Billy's in one of my favorite action movies from the 90s.
Which one is that?
Backdraft.
Is Backdraft an action film?
Yeah. What would you classify Backdraft as?
A fire movie.
So? Action. You go, I go.
I suppose you do have like a killer and shit.
It's a serial killer.
Yeah.
They're fighting the fires.
Yeah. But there's no like kick punching.
They kick a moose lot of doors down.
Fair enough. You've won me
over. I know. Let's watch Backdraft.
Whatever. What do you do? Just fucking Alec Baldwin, you dumbass.
Just don't do anything.
Snoopy D-O-double-G.
Break out the gin and juice.
Yeah. He's getting a biopic.
Yes.
Snoop's led. Yo, his career is like, what, like 30 years long or something? Because he's in his 50s now. And he's still so popular, still in the public eye. I mean,
you could argue that he's probably now even more in the, he's like a cultural phenomenon now, as opposed to just being like a rapper.
Yeah, he's just there. He's still around, still hitting them corners in them lolos, girl.
How did you just squeeze that? Whoa.
With his life story, I imagine there's like so much drama in the LBC.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hard being Snoop D or Double G.
Vroeg op een zondag. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. So he says, yeah, this is an actual quote. I waited a long time to put this project together because I wanted to choose the right director, the perfect writer, and the greatest movie company I could partner with that could understand the legacy that I'm trying to portray on screen and the memory I'm trying to leave behind. It was the perfect marriage, not holy matrimony. It was holy matrimony, not holy macaroni.
That was a perfect Snoop quote, honestly. Who would think to rhyme matrimony with macaroni, Ross? Who?
No one else.
In any case, he does have an exciting team.
Yeah, it's the Straight Outta Compton people.
Yeah, and then the director of Menace to
Society.
He's directing the movie. And the guy that is writing it is the guy who co-wrote both Black Panther films.
Mm.
So quite a team that he's put together for this movie. And it's coming out in Universal.
Yeah, Universal did Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
Which made a shit ton of money for them.
So people are hoping that they'll just use the Straight Out of Compton cast.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop.
The Snoop Man.
Yeah.
But I mean, I couldn't see if that guy could act or not.
It's Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh, is it?
Yes. They want to get Lakeith back.
But there was such a small part. Yeah, it's
but
tiny.
People are like, just get Lakeith. Okay. You know, like when Anthony Mackie played Puck and everyone was like, just get Anthony Mackie to do like a Tupac biopic. It's like a similar vibe now.
Okay. That's a big enough. He's a big enough star now.
I think so. Yeah. And I
how
mean,
tall is he?
He is. I think he's pretty tall.
What's he? 6'8"?
Six.
I don't know how feet works. Oh, these guys.
It's check.
I'm 60. Check. Did you see those TikTok videos? He asked people. He asked guys, "How tall are you?" And then they're like, "Oh, I'm 6'5". And he's like, "Do you mind if we measure?"
He's 5'11" and a half.
Oh, no, that's too short.
Yeah. Snoop's lanky, but he's thin, so he can pull off like a lanky
one. No, but you'd have to pull a Hobbit. You'd have to pull a Lord of the Rings every time.
Daniel Kaluuya is actually shorter than I thought.
How short is he?
174. He's shorter than Donald Glover. I thought Donald Glover's like 1'7". He's 1'75.
Where's Danny DeVito?
1'5" something. He's like 1'5".
Like Abby.
Yeah. But, you know, a little stockier than Abby.
Wow. Motherfucker, that's my wife you're talking about. He's way stockier than Abby.
I was saying that sarcastically.
I don't know. I'm just covering my motherfucking voice. I would not like to see this, but I don't want to see Kaka Don't Know. I mean, I know already.
Mm.
I want to see Kaka Don't Know. I want to see his crib shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that no one talks about. I'm sure Snoop murdered some people.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fucking rough time when they were all coming up.
100%. And he's still a crip to this day.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to just the way that they normally do these biopics. They're going to do all of the like Soul Train and those award shows and like all the things that were basically like in
milestones.
The news. Like in the news type things, they're going to cover now in a cinematic way.
Yeah, but that's...
Which is not as interesting.
No, that's that Bohemian Rhapsody bullshit. Did you see there's another... the Tina Turner trailer, did you watch it?
Yes, it was on... that and Whitney. I saw those two trailers now. Whitney's movie is also coming out.
No, I was talking about Whitney.
That's the one that they showed in the cinema.
Yes,
but Tina Turner, I saw...
There was a Tina... I thought about the Tina Turner, but I was talking about the Whitney one.
They're doing them all in
and
the
then
same
I
way,
saw yeah. the from the producers of Bohemian Rhapsody and I was like, fuck that.
Not gonna watch this.
No. I'm sorry.
But they all of them like are gonna follow the same type of threads. We're that's not gonna see thing. Bobby scratching in the hole to get that long.
Yes, that's what I wanna see.
That's what we want.
We want the nitty gritty. Yeah. We want the detritus.
Of the dairy.
That's what we want. But anyway, Snoop, I'm here for it. Let's see what they do. Black Panther. Black Adam as well. Mm. What are the two similarities there?
The blackness of the title.
And it's unlikely that they're going to be released in China.
Yeah, China's like, no, we're just not going to do that. And their policies, like, no one actually understands what.
Yeah, the criteria for them banning this shit. Like, it's very.
With Eternals, it was obvious because of Chloe Zhao and her, like, political stances and things. But with these movies, it's like, there's no political stances in China, like, involved here at all.
Shang-Chi, there was Simu Liu, where it also said something anti Chinese government at some point. But what I've gathered from this article is they, like, have these teams in my head that just, everyone that's involved with the movie, they just scour their, like, social media and shit.
Yeah.
To look for anything that they've said that's anti-China.
At any stage, ever. Yeah.
And then they, like, fuck that.
No, you're not coming.
Yeah. The one movie, I'm not sure because my memory is trash, but it was banned because there was too many shots of the Statue of Liberty. I think it was Spider-Man No Way Home. Yeah, there was too many shots of the Statue of Liberty, and they're like, no, that's too much American propaganda. And they're like, fuck this. And then you have the classics, which is like homosexuality. They don't dig that. And then something The Rock had done as well.
Oh, and then they say also Lightyear didn't go out because of the brief depiction of openly gay characters.
Yeah.
And that's also potentially why Black Panther.
Because, I mean, no spoilers.
Yeah.
Spoilers, Jody.
I mean, Jody. You blink and you miss.
Yeah, blink and you miss for us, but a big deal for others. Okay.
Yo.
But there is some.
You've got to praise the level of spite involved with.
It's not saying.
Like, just banning an entire film production.
No, but I mean, what was the deal with The Rock?
With Black Adam.
Yes, there was the proposed reason as to why that was not there. Oh, yeah, the leading theory for Black Adam is the presence of the film of Pierce Brosnan as the heroic character Kent Nelson. Roughly 2 years ago, Brosnan posted a 19-year-old photo of his family posing with the Dalai Lama.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yo.
And as you know, China fucking hates the Dalai Lama.
I just realized we've been saying China a lot. This podcast is...
No, it's fucked. I'll bleep it out.
No traction I'll bleep it China out. Whatsoever.
But that's the leading theory at this point.
Lordy, lordy, lord. That is shocking.
That's crazy, right?
Oh,
shit. And I mean, like, look, the Dalai Lama also has his issues. He said some terrible things about women. But I don't think that he should be, you know, his country should be held captive by China. You know, that's not how we feel. Mm-hmm. So this episode is definitely not getting traction in Asia.
A market that we are keen to explore.
100%. We will explore any market. Except Qatar for the World Cup. That was a bad decision.
Hashtag not my World Cup.
But football's coming home this year.
Uh-huh. It's coming.
Every year.
We are wearing way too much clothes for this
part. Yo, but that's nuts, Jody. It says here also in this article that they don't make as much money that they used to from China because China's on severe lockdown as well. But it's still like millions of dollars, yeah.
Yeah, it is millions. And also in terms of like just sheer volume of numbers. If China is not factored in, you are not going to ever like in-game numbers, Avatar numbers. You need that market.
Top Gun Maverick numbers.
Yeah, you absolutely need that market.
And then on the other side of the coin, the cinema chain owners in China are also complaining because they're not getting their big budget tent poles that bring people to the cinemas.
Do you remember when we did one of our COVID episodes and we were like, these are the top earning movies for
this year? I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. What the fuck are you talking about?
The top earning movies during 2020, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was all those Chinese films that came out that they were releasing only in China.
Yeah.
And they were still making like $500 million in that vicinity.
Yeah.
But it's like those were purely Chinese films. I think 9 out of the top 10, the only one from America was Bad Boys.
Yeah. Bad Boys 4 Live.
Yeah.
Bad Boys 3
Live. Yeah. Bad Boys 3 Live.
Bad Boys 3, 4 Live.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa posted a video. Well, it's Jason Momoa, so he was like, he started off the video, my man!
My man!
Woo! All right! Hey! you know, first of all.
Was he trying?
Yeah, yeah. And then he was like, oh, I'm just amazing. I just got the best news ever that I can't say anything about. Ever.
Yeah.
But I got the best news. Just believe me. I got
Hashtag the maestro.
Yeah, he said maestro and a kiss and whatever, whatever. And then the internet did what the internet does.
They extrapolated
and
the living shit out of what
pulled up an interview of what's their name again? It's Flash?
Ezra
Miller. Mm. Pulled up an interview of Ezra Miller where he referred to Zack Snyder as a maestro. Mm. And they were like
that intertwined. Mm,
they scissored that idea together. And they were
so
like,
illogical.
Maestro, Snyder's coming back. And, oh shit, he's
and,
back.
And you know, Ross, I wonder whose fans did that.
Yeah.
I wonder.
It was his fans who did that. And I was like, I told Jody earlier, I was just like that Michael Scott meme where was, when Toby comes back.
No!
Please, God, no! No! But it turns out it was bullshit.
Utter bullshit.
Yeah. And what was he talking about? Do you know?
It hasn't been announced yet, but the new theory is that him and James Gunn, because James Gunn has said something linking to Lobo. Mm. Or Lobo.
Lobo.
Not Lobo.
Don't embarrass yourself. I mean, with the comic book fans, they'll tear you apart, bro.
And
but you should have been Lolo. You should have been hidden in them corners, in them Lolos, girl. Remember when we spoke about Jason Momoa the first time? Lobo. I said he should have been Lobo.
And now he's Aquaman. So how do you do the two?
But it's James Gunn.
Okay.
So he's got... Fair. No, he's got... I mean, no, he's got characters in the Guardians universe that play other characters elsewhere.
I know.
He's like, fuck it. Give the fans what they want.
Yeah, we just do it.
What you want to
and
do
it
now...
And it doesn't all have to cross over. That's the thing.
I mean, Lobo is an amazing... Look, they can... Lobo is the type of character where you could even make a joke that they look similar.
Yeah.
Like
it's... It would completely go.
And I love Lobo. I mean, he's hyper-violent.
No, he's almost like a version of Deadpool in terms of his madness and violence.
Yeah,
and
he's
And
yeah.
also fairly indestructible as well.
Yeah, and so, he's got no, like, allegiances. He's not nothing. A good guy.
Yeah, he's... But he's also not explicitly a bad guy. He's just Lobo.
Yeah, he's a fucking, you know, gunfire, whatever. And he's got a space motorbike. It's the best.
But aesthetically, Jason Momoa would have been absolutely perfect for this character.
If someone can make Lobo happen, I mean, even if he doesn't direct it. Mm.
Just producer, just be involved. So James Gunn did hint at Lobo. Yeah. Jason Momoa is not confirming it, but...
Nor denying it.
Yeah. But he did confirm it's not Zack Snyder he was talking about.
Yeah.
That he did confirm.
Yeah, yeah. Because you have to nip that
Thank the Lord.
You have to nip that shit in the butt, bruh. Because those fans... they're fucking mad.
They will go crazy.
Yeah, our last story, which you seem to have to removed.
Where did it go?
You typed over it.
Oh, shit.
Why do you hate me, bro?
I don't. This was dear to my heart as well.
My Batman. My Batman. Mm-hmm. And so many others. Kevin Conroy has passed. 66 years old, intestinal cancer.
Yeah. Was apparently doing the Comic-Cons right to the end.
Right to the end. Just, but he loved it so much.
Yeah.
And
he just kept going.
If you don't know who he is he has been the voice of Batman in so many projects for like 30 years.
Starting with the animated series.
Yeah.
Like the definitive version of Batman.
Animated series, and then that bled into the DC films.
Various DC
Arkham games. Mm-hmm. All sorts of shit. For promo, they'd use him like he was just... Like, if you think Batman and you hear Batman, he is Batman.
Exactly.
And he was the first one to play... If you listen to the voices of Bruce Wayne versus Batman, you can actually like tell the difference and shit. And he was just so good. Such a good guy. Mark Hamill loves him because Mark Hamill is my Joker.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was going to say, when you think of voice actors and you think of the Batman series, you have Mark Hamill as Joker and you have Kevin Conroy as Batman.
Yeah.
There is no alternatives.
No.
Anytime that Warner Brothers have gone like... who did they have recently from... I think Jensen Ackles played him recently in one of the... Whenever it wasn't Conroy, it's like...
Could be Jensen Ackles or that other guy. Yeah, it sounded off. It sounded off because with their new universe as well, they started with the new films and stuff. They didn't cast Conroy.
Yeah.
And it...
It's just not the same.
It's not the same.
And what I've always loved, because Conroy had a like a very good way of thinking about the character.
Yeah.
He was the one that pushed the idea that Bruce is the mask and Batman is the real character.
Yeah, and he played it like that.
He played it up like that. That was like,
I am vengeance. I am the night. He's also in my favorite Batman film, Mask of the Phantasm. Mm. He does the voice for that.
Sadly, underseen.
Yeah, Batman, if you haven't seen it, then like watch it. It's fucking brilliant. Score.
When did that come out? 98, 99?
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like, it was after the animated series.
It's a while ago, but phew.
Mm. Gay man. My Batman is gay, bitch. Shame. Did you say shame?
They're
gay.
Gonna cancel him now?
You can't cancel a dead man.
My Batman's not gay, Ross.
No, my Batman's gay. And his name is Kevin. His name is Kevin Conroy.
R.I.P. Kevin Conroy.
R.I.P. Kevin Conroy.
Sec. It's time for a review.
This week's movie is one that we have hyped up for literally a day. Literally. You and I went to go and see Black Panther Wakanda Forever, directed by returning director Ryan Coogler. This one has Queen Ramonda, Shuri, M'Baku, Okoye, and the Dora Milaje fight to protect their nation from intervening world powers in the wake of King T'Challa's death. As the Wakandans strive to embrace their next chapter, the heroes must band together with Nakia and Everett Ross to forge a new path for their beloved kingdom. Otherworldly against the otherworldly phenomenon? I guess is what that...
Wow. Jody like copied the synopsis hard wrong.
I literally selected it.
It just says kingdom.
The worldly full stop phenomenon. The worldly an otherworldly phenomenon, I imagine. This one stars Letitia Wright as Shuri, Lupita Nyong'o as Nakia, Danai Gurira as Okoye, Winston Duke, Angela Bassett, Tino Huerta, our new character as Namor. Is that how we're supposed to pronounce it?
Yeah,
comics is Namor, right.
Yeah, Namor, yeah.
Angela Bassett, I said, Martin Freeman, and Dominic Thorne as Riri, who is a very important character.
Is she, though?
Going forward.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, going forward. Series and going forward, yes. But yeah. In this form.
Not so much.
Yeah, okay, where to start?
So, I mean, right off the face. Right off the face, Ross.
Let's go. Right off the face of Chadwick Boseman.
They couldn't not address that.
No.
So, I mean, this movie literally starts with he's passing.
Yeah, and he's. And addresses it. They refer to a disease. Mm. They also refer to the fact that he was suffering in silence. So they just basically went with what happened in the real world.
Yeah, which, I mean, I have to applaud Coogler for the approach there. I think that when it happened, no one really knew how they would handle it because...
I mean, come on.
Plans were in place, ideas had already been approved.
Yeah, but he almost quit.
Who?
Coogler.
Oh, when it happened?
He almost quit directing.
Ah, I didn't know that.
He said it was so painful that he was just... can stop making movies.
But I think what he then seems to have done in turn is to almost use this as a vehicle to like address everyone's loss and grievance. Like
I think this was just an experience for everyone involved that from the first film.
Yeah.
Like you could tell the care that was taken, how they handled everything with like the utmost respect. For Chadwick Boseman, which I think was the best decision.
Yeah, fantastic visuals that they used to...
Yeah, but even so, even the... Okay, we'll get into it. Actually, let's keep that for spoilers. But let's talk about the film.
Yeah, I mean, that part is vital because I think the undercurrent of this is that so much...
Undercurrent.
Just nice. Full of puns these days.
Look at you. Because there's a water...
It's the current,
you'll get it.
And there's a water character.
You'll get it.
In any case.
It's Aquaman. Jason Momoa is in this film now.
Fucking spoilers.
No, I'm joking.
In any case.
Zack Snyder, he's back.
Like this film, I don't want to say unfortunately, but
then don't say
to
it.
Deal with his death, and that impacted on the story that they wanted to tell and needed to tell.
Mm.
So I think that Namor was potentially even planned as part of the original
He was going to be the villain regardless.
Yeah, they decided, no, they're going to push it out.
So the original film was going to deal with T'Challa dealing with the being gone for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then Namor was going to be the villain anyway.
Yeah.
So they were going to bring in you could tell by the richness of that story
that
he was in the original script.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that all of that is like, you can see the impact that the death had on the subsequent story and needing to figure out now, in addition to introducing new characters, how do we also address Chadwick's death?
Yeah.
You know, in a way that is meaningful and not like just using his memory. Yeah. So I think if you think about it, this is the first Marvel film that's really had to actually have a consequential death where they don't just like, here's your funeral, now it's done and we move on. The death is actually integral to the story throughout. Most other Marvel deaths happen like Aunt May or Tony or whatever, and it's, or even Natasha, and it's like they die and then we grieve for a little bit, but the show must go on.
I don't grieve for them.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Not even Natasha?
Never.
It's a cold heart, man.
A cold motherfucker.
Cold.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's a unique situation.
Yeah.
In general, in film.
The person that the film is named after is not there anymore.
But they deal with it like straight off the bat. I mean, the movie starts and Shuri's trying to save or develop something that will save him because she's trying to develop a synthetic heart-shaped herb.
Yeah. Which, if you don't remember, was destroyed by Killmonger in the last film.
They should remember.
They should, but sometimes they don't.
No, I think give our audience some credit, Shuri. She was.
We have middle-aged people that listen to us.
That is not my fault. So they deal with it straight off the bat. You just in it, and Angela Bassett comes to bring the news that he had passed, and then we jump straight into the funeral.
Which Shuri missed because of trying,
she was
to,
trying
find
to develop it. Yeah, I really like that. I think they handled it with aplomb.
Yeah, and what I really liked is the not showing him, because I thought they might try and squeeze in
That was what I wanted to say. I'll get to it in the spoilers, but I'm glad they didn't show him.
Yeah.
Even his voice.
Mm. So the story is, for me, a bit hard to rate because of, like, just purely on a story basis.
Oh, it's easy for me to rate. I think it's fucking overly convoluted at times, but in general, it's good story. Yeah.
Pretty much. But it's like there's this element of, they really paid respect to him in a way that was beautiful. But I feel like it was at the, like, it hindered their main story, which was the one dealing with this new
thing. Well, that's the struggle you have, don't you? Just the decision to carry on with the film and go through with it. Like, that's what you have to balance. Yeah. You have to balance the fact that not only was he the star of the franchise, but he was, like, from what I could tell, he was their friend.
Yeah, everyone's.
Yeah. Even Martin Freeman was like, they were fucking devastated. Mm. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So, that's what you have to balance. And I think he handled it well. I think he did the best he could. And I could feel it in the cinema, like the moments where people were supposed to.
The somberness was heavy.
Yeah, it was quiet.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. What do you think of the new characters?
Yeah, I like the new characters. Well,
land-based and water-based.
No, so Riri Williams.
It's a little true.
I was excited for her just because of her story, like in the comics. But definitely shoehorned in. Didn't feel that necessary.
Yeah, because she had a series confirmed a couple of years ago already, the Iron Man series. But they needed.
You know, she originally auditioned for Shuri. That
makes sense. Yeah, I can see that actually. So yeah, she had her series confirmed, and they needed to now, as Marvel always does, they need to introduce you in some way in an existing property, and this just so happened to be the vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, she is, in terms of like the plot, her character is important, I would guess, but it just didn't fit perfectly for me. But I really like this character, so I hope that she does redeem herself.
Yeah, with her own
in thing. The future.
I think that she's very well cast. I like her in the action scenes. I like her with the science stuff that she does, because I mean, she's like this genius, basically Tony Stark level genius. Deliberate mention of Tony Stark. See?
Well, that was one of the issues I think as well. In the comics, Tony Stark is there. And
but she gets the scholarship that
but she also like reverse engineers her old Iron Man suit and builds her own.
Yeah.
So he kind of guides her in a way.
Yes.
And that obviously can't happen. Yeah.
Yes. So to just find a way.
Yes. And it's like, there you are. You did all this shit. Like.
And that ties in with my like my problem with some of the characters here and their abilities, but I can't talk about that pre-spoilers, I think.
No.
And so that's the big reveal.
What did you think of Namor?
Love this character. It's interesting that they went the South American route. I don't think that
Marvel... I loved it.
I don't think that Marvel is completely altruistic in the in the reason for it. I think that's a new market they're trying to reach. But the way they tied it in
I also think, sure, from a company perspective, yes. But I think Ryan Coogler handles these type of things with a certain level of respect.
Yeah.
And
no, definitely.
So I don't think, even though the decision might have been, you know, up to the company and stuff, I think the amount of research and the care with which it was handled was
But perfect. Do you know what I felt here is that you could see, like you said, how much research was done, how much he had thought about the motivations of these characters and how he was introducing them. But I feel like the story suffered because of needing to address Chadwick's death as well. I feel like he would have dived even deeper into Namor and the Talokan people and all of that, because they tie in lots of things about colonialism and that type of thing as well, which is a recurrent theme within Black Panther and now with Namor's characters.
Yeah.
But he couldn't go into as much detail there as I think he would have.
No, but it's fine. I mean, I forgive it because of Chadwick Boseman dying. Like,
what? I do, but I'm saying...
It doesn't sound like you do.
I do.
It sounds like you hate him because of it.
Hating's a strong word.
I'm all about strong words.
I noticed.
No, it's I forgive it because it's unique circumstances.
Yeah.
And they did enough for me to be like, I get where you're coming from. I mean, that flashback where he's telling his story was amazing.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was. But this, like, Tino Huerta is just perfectly cast as
Nemo
in this movie. Like, honestly, leader of the people, that whole thing of his backstory and his motivations, it's are
fucking
like...
fucking badass.
I think Ryan Coogler, better than any other Marvel director so far, has given us villains or antagonists. Because villainous actually doesn't really feel right for describing this character, but he's given us antagonists who have like very, very good motivations for why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Which is really difficult to pull off. Like a lot of other Marvel villains, they just do the mirror thing where it's like,
You know. Well, which is what they did kind of in the first Black Panther.
But Killmonger's motivations made
him stand out. No, I'm talking about the third act.
Yes. Where you couldn't tell who was basically. Yellow and purple. That's
So, great addition to the Marvel Universe. I think they perfectly cast him. And I actually think that this origin story for Namor is better than the original.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see...
But they did it on purpose.
They would have had to tie
in. Because you have Jason Momoa. No, but I mean, it's less confusion if you think about it.
That's what I was going to say, because they would have had to force a connection between ancient Greece and Atlanta and all of that.
Yeah.
If they did the proper Namor story, which is also then difficult in light of Thor and those gods there. And, you know what I mean?
So
making him a separate thing, but also representing a completely new culture within the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And tapping into the South American market is...
Yeah.
It's like good all round for them.
Yeah. It's a representation, man. It fucking matters.
It does. Like, on a slightly different point, but you were telling me about how, like, I had problems with that scene in Endgame where they do the, like, female, like, team-up thing, and then you told me about the scene of that little girl watching that and how she told her dad, like, it's so inspirational for her to see women doing that.
Yeah.
And this is a similar thing where it's now... People who have not gotten representation in any shape or form in Marvel are now being represented.
Yeah. As the a man that looks like, Mexican, I agree.
You connect with us.
Yeah, 100%.
Vatos locos for life.
Vote for Pedro.
but all the characters that form part of
it picks up everything. I can't touch anything and then freaking picks it up.
All the actors that they got that are part of the Talokan tribe are
Who's the woman? She is right there.
Mabel Cadena.
Yeah.
Namora.
There's that other
Alex Livinelli is Atuma.
The big one.
The big guy.
Yes. There's a fight between him and Okoya. Amazing.
I need to talk about that in the spoilers also, but it was I feel like the one thing that I didn't feel was explained well is exactly the nature of their powers with the telekins and like coming up they and did. Things.
It's like, yeah, you drink this. Yeah.
But invulnerability.
Yeah.
We're not the invulnerable if yeah. we aren't.
Just drink the thing.
And you're good.
Drink the thing on your back.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So I think it's similar to like the Aquaman one with dealing with those deep pressures, the hardened skin.
Yes. I mean, and super strong because.
Yeah, but we've seen it. They don't have to explain it again.
Nice.
No, man, you fucking.
How am I being difficult?
You are being difficult.
I'm just saying they were.
We've seen like, enough sci-fi superhero stuff to just accept.
That's
come from the ocean. They strong.
That's you and me, not everyone.
Ah, nobody care. I can tell you now, in my cinema,
no one
fucking care. Because my cinema experience speaking was of, something special.
Speaking of, with the first Black Panther, I think everyone's cinematic experience was kind of defined by the music also. Like how...
Yeah, this music was amazing was
crazy
too.
And like people were like really, really enjoying themselves yeah, for yeah. that. You really liked this one as well.
Yeah, 100%. Even the blend of South American sounds coming through with the African stuff. Like Ludwig Göransson, I'm telling you, man, that the man's truth. A genius. Yeah.
But also, do you know this?
What's your favorite? My favorite is when the Dora Milaje is the kid.
The Dora Milaje.
I love that sound. I love that sound.
But they also, as a force, they establish them as like fucking.
Yeah, they are dangerous. Cool. They are cool.
Before we go into spoilers.
Yeah, let's do it.
Before we go into spoilers, your MVP in terms of the characters, do you have one?
I would say my MVP. Ugh, that's tough, eh?
I can tell you mine if you want to think about M'Baku.
Yeah, now you see.
In terms of character progression.
But there's him. There's the queen.
Yeah.
There's Namor.
Mm.
There's Okoya.
Mm.
Even, but less so, I guess, but for good reason is Nakia.
Mm.
They
all love.
Like everyone stepped up.
You are right. Everyone has stepped up.
Except the one.
Who should have? Conspicuous by the absence of your list there. But no, I 100% agree with you. But yeah. M'Baku for me was...
Every scene is in his tails there.
Just as
every like scene.
A voice of reason as...
Yeah.
You know, he really, really stepped up in this movie for me.
Like the comedy, his imposing figure, he's nurturing side, like all that shit comes through.
Even when he's getting kabooed.
Yeah. He's not even in that many scenes, to be honest. No. But it's just like he feels like he's always there and always present.
And he's a valuable presence.
Oh, yeah. Ah, fucking. God, he must get his own series or something. Shit, man.
Yeah, he should. Okay.
It's a spoiler sound of some kind. Chadwick Boseman dies.
He's dead.
No. No, yeah.
Ramonda dies.
Ramonda dies, yeah, the queen. Yo, when she first appears on screen as the queen, not when she's telling second appearance on screen.
Yeah, so not when
everybody was like, holy shit, look at Angela Bassett. She looks amazing.
She is astonishing.
Right?
Statuesque, just that poise.
Fuck me.
The regality.
Mm.
She has everything.
Oh, she looks amazing. And also, everyone looks really good, though.
But also just that scene, that UN scene is like... Ooh.
That UN scene is just... that's the thing. We didn't really talk into in the story in terms of the fact that the West is trying to obviously get their hands on vibranium. That's like the main thing that pushes things forward because they're sending mercenaries to literally steal the stuff.
But I think this is one of the examples where what was set up in the previous movie couldn't continue in this one. So when Black Panther ends, we see that there's an outreach program that's been established in Orlando, I think it was.
Yeah, and all over else.
Yes, but that was being driven by T'Challa.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, with his death, now Wakanda has decided we are not really dealing with people. They still have the outreach centers, but like vibranium is not going to be negotiated with or given to anyone that is ours.
Yeah.
And then they figure out, this is where Riri Williams' character comes in, because they finally get something that can detect vibranium, and they find a new source of it in the ocean.
Yeah.
Which is integral to the Talokan people.
Yeah. So one of the issues that Abby had was that Riri Williams is so smart. How did she not know a fucking device was being
stolen by the CIA
for evil? But I said, look, she's academically smart and engineeringly smart,
but not
with people. Really.
Yeah, I would also say that, like, she's a student. She just doesn't care.
Sure,
like, she has a lot going on.
I liked also, America was just straight up the people that represented America were just straight up villains, man.
Well, them, but also the French.
Yeah.
Because when in that UN appearance, like.
No, that's why I said the West.
Yeah.
Because there's even that one scene where the guy was like, oh, yeah, what's our strategy? And then they're discussing what they're going to do. And he's like, oh, we should just do what we always do, which is where they actively like assassinate certain people to cause like civil unrest.
Yes,
and shit.
Yes, yes. The CIA is not.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
So they were alluding to that, and I was like, this is classic America. Yeah.
Oh well, that's a character that's not listed.
Valentina.
Valentina is now the director of the CIA. So
Shevchenko.
Further setting up the.
No, it's the not Valentina. Was Usman in this movie?
Yeah, he's the guy that Kumpaku has.
I was like. I'm sure that's Usman.
Yeah, the timing was terrible for him because he did that film just before he lost his fight.
Yeah, shame.
But Lupita
was very good.
Lupita
though.
Was at the UFC this morning.
Oh, is it?
The live event. He was there as well. So they showed that.
She went to go watch a Nigerian lose.
Yeah.
I shame.
They were bad luck. Like. Spoilers.
It's the Drake curse.
It is the Drake curse. If Drake bets on you, you are
screwed. I quit. I don't fight.
Ooh, we digress.
Yeah, $2 million he lost. Fuck,
and we have little time left, and we haven't spoken about the biggest part of this film, which is
Vibranium. No,
the new Black Panther.
Yes, the new Black Panther.
We called it.
Look, everyone called it. I was hoping it was going to be Nakia.
Yes, and they teased it.
They
to
did
a degree,
tease it.
Eh?
Yeah, they did tease it. I was hoping it would be Nakia, but it turned out to be Shuri.
Yes. Which I think story-wise made the most sense.
No, it does. Even in the comic, Shuri takes over the mantle at some point. But I don't think Letitia Wright has the chops to carry this.
No. If they had carried on with her doing the scientific part, like doing all of those things.
She's better as a secondary character.
Yes. Mm. But leading the franchise and...
Like, especially with your cast around you that is so strong... I just don't think
she doesn't stand out. And again, we discussed all of the behind the scenes things that happened and how she was being reframed ahead of the movie's release and why we thought that would probably mean she's Black Panther now. But even just like my issue being, she's not convincing with the fighting scenes. I don't believe that once she takes in that herb, she now suddenly knows how to fight.
We had the same issue, but in general, I mean, in law and in the comics, they are all trained.
Oh, yes. I get what you mean. Yeah,
so they're all trained to fight the royal family and shit.
Yeah.
So I just took it as that.
Okay.
I know they positioned her as the tech person in the beginning, but like...
And you know where I was disappointed. I felt like the story they were setting up for Okoye actually was her being... Like, she's taking on people, like you mentioned, her fight scene. She's taking on people, but she's not superpowered, so she can't actually... She can only keep up to a certain point.
Yeah.
And I thought that's them teasing that she's going to be the one to take the heart-shaped herb, and then she already has the ability.
I actually thought a few of them were going to take it.
Yes, that's what they teased the whole time.
I thought it was going to be Nakia, M'Baku, Okoye, and Shuri.
That's what they did tease ahead of time, multiple Black Panthers. So we were misled.
Imagine M'Baku now on the heart-shaped herb.
I think that was what some people had wanted, and that was maybe
also,
a bit
why
too
doesn't
obvious.
M'Baku, why isn't his weapon vibranium?
Yeah, but I think it's because the tribe that T'Challa and his people belong to seem to be the ones who control the vibranium. So all the others are the neighboring tribes that form part of Wakanda.
Yeah, but they share the resources.
They share the resources, yeah. I think he's just a bit like nice old school. Drobgiri OPL.
Yeah. When Mark is sitting, it's always breaking.
It is always breaking. And to be honest, my gripe is not related
you
to
must
her
be
behind
honest,
the
though.
Scene stuff. I tried to.
I also had to now be.
Divorce myself from that. But just as a character leading here, I mean, they tried to do the whole. Similar. They basically mirrored T'Challa's story of wanting to become Black Panther for revenge purposes and getting over that, but. This is just, I don't believe her.
What did you think of her vision when she took the heart shape out and saw
like
Killmonger?
Dope cameo. I did not see any reports of him.
So, in our cinema, So our cinema was a vibe. There were people dressed in white. It was a whole thing and shit. And they were vocal. Even before the film, they're screaming, Wakanda forever. And then there were moments where it was amazing. Because when Killmonger was revealed, this one woman just shouted, Daddy!
No, he had the his pose when she shouted it. I can see why.
There was another moment where Okoye rescues Ross, and she's like
the colonizer in chains.
In chains, then everybody like cheered. And then the third moment was the reveal of the lesbian relationship between Akan,
which is literally Aneka, a kiss on the head.
Yeah,
just.
And then people cheered for that. So I was like, "Yo, it was a vibe. It was a vibe in my cinema." But it's no one cheered for Shuri.
No,
it was entrance was cool
as for me, like her beating Namor. I know she figured out how to like depower,
but he was right there by the ocean. Why didn't he just jump into the water?
But not just that; it's like he has been fighting for hundreds of years. He's like the leader.
Yeah, but I told you they were trained already.
But they haven't been trained for 100 years, like hundreds of years. He's been fighting and protecting his people.
I really love that montage of his story, of how he came to be, and him. Even the origin of his name was like, yo, this is...
That is better than anything
they could have done with the Atlanteans.
Yeah, because Namor is just an abbreviated part of son of the devil, son with no love or something like that.
Oh, should I attempt to read this, man?
Go for it. I believe in you.
El Niño Sin Amor.
Yes.
So it means the boy without love.
The boy without
and he
love.
Was like, he shortened it to Namor. But Namor is Atlantean for Avenging Son in the comics. And it's just Roman backwards.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, what they came up with here is so much
better. The richness of this culture is just second to none. It comes through in the costume design. The set design is brilliant.
And these Mabel Cadena and Alex Levinali, they and Tino Huerta are all Mexican. So they
But they had to learn the language.
Which is an ancient it's like an Aztec language or something, right?
Yeah.
But what they had said was they also tried to bring in as much of their own Mexican culture as what they could to make the characters.
I mean, they've been acting for a while, just not in mainstream films. Because he's actually the first ever to receive an introducing credit in a Marvel Studios film.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, Namor is literally, and he says mutant in
the movie as well. He did say mutant.
He is the first mutant. That's like one of his monikers, is the first mutant.
Yeah.
And he is, I don't think people understand how big of a character he is in the comic books. Mm. And why it's so integral that he's
like part of the Illuminati.
And what the fact that they rounded him out so, because Namor's an anti-hero. He's not a straight out. Like,
no, his first thing is to take care of his own kingdom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the way that they've now rounded him out here is like, you can see that. He's not always going to, even though he sided with Wakanda and eventually they have a peaceful resolution.
Yeah.
He's still ultimately thinking about how this best positions his people for success. So in future movies, when he comes back, that's
He's always it's political vibes. I mean, there's a lot of politics going on here. What did you think of the action overall?
We didn't even say Kwai or Nai when we did
our We didn't.
Kwai.
What did you think of the action overall?
Overall, I dug most of it. I think that the water fights and the water scenes were very believable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Coogler knows his shit with us, man. So most of it's believable. I just think that Shuri and Riri are... Okay, Shuri, you've explained, but Riri as a character who's just started playing around with a flight suit and stuff, I'm like, how is she so
good? That's also a symptom of the shoehorning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I would have preferred that they have, like, in a series where she learns all these things.
I wouldn't have needed her. I know she was a part of the plot device because that's the whole thing. They have to protect her because they find out that she's the one who created... Namor wants to kill the person who created the machine.
The detection machine,
And she's the one who created it. And then they go and find out that she's a fucking student. And they're like, no, we have to protect her. Yeah. So they protect her from Namor. And then that whole story evolves. But there's another way that it could have done it.
A better way.
I didn't need Riri in this film. Did you know that Tenoch Huerta didn't know how to swim? when he was cast.
Ryan Coogler as well. Ryan Coogler had to learn to swim to film the stuff.
When he was asked about his swimming skills,
he said, I can do it.
No, he said, I've never drowned before.
I love that. It's not a lie.
And then he had to go for swimming lessons.
Feel like I've interviewed people where they've given me some answers.
Overall, man, I know, I feel like we need more time to talk about this film, but
true, but we don't have the time.
Yeah, it was a lot to take in. It's 2 hours, 41 minutes. Jody spent 4 hours in the cinema. Because they restarted the film.
Yeah, Sturk and Nicole, what the fuck? 15 minutes in, they just restarted the movie. So I had to watch it twice for the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But look, this movie was quiet for me. There are issues that I had with character choices.
Yeah.
Shuri being Black Panther and so on. Yeah. But I feel like I gave a lot of leeway because of what Ryan Coogler dealt with, how he dealt with it, and the story still made.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was also quiet. It was a great experience in the cinema. But Shuri can't carry this shit. Yeah. And we do have to talk about the mid-credits scene as well. But also, before we get there, at the end of the film, there's a separation now between the Black Panther and the ruler of Wakanda.
Yes, yes. So, that's a very big thing.
Yeah, so before, because T'Challa was the king of Wakanda and also the Black Panther.
And his father.
So it was kind of alluded to that if you are the king.
Bruh, you just highlighted the issue I had. I think that.
Yeah, but Abby had this issue as well. Mm. Maybe not, but this is one of the issues that she had. But that was alluded to in the first film. I mean, she has a point that if you are the king,
you are automatically
the Black Panther.
Which is why I thought Shuri was the logical choice with what they've established.
But what she does is
forgoes the title.
Exactly. Of, yeah. She's referred to as princess, I think, by Namor, and she says, I'm the Black Panther.
Because M'Baku is the one that
In the end, M'Baku becomes the ruler of Wakanda. Yeah. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
He's wise as shit now.
He's the only one who's like throughout thought logic.
And it was quite a funny scene because they set up that whole thing where,
all the tribes are there.
And they're going to challenge each other. And he just jumps out of the jet and he's like, Shuri won't be joining us today.
Listen, I think this is a plot hole, but they mention when with T'Challa's death, son of
the mask.
No, why would you squeeze Jamie Kennedy into
these things?
They mention son of, and then they talk about John Carney's character, and then they mention his father.
Yeah,
and then they've spoken about three generations.
Yes,
and then they talk about how the Black Panther has been around for centuries, and I'm like. But you've only gone back, like, described three generations, and they said that John Carney's father is the first Black Panther. I was like, no, man, guys, I think you actually are talking a bit cuck there.
I missed that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just thought, okay.
Just go with it.
Yeah.
It
it's definitely a hole then, if they mention
the way that they describe
for generations, like for centuries, and then this generation.
You just go back two generations.
But then again, doesn't the Black Panther live longer than... No, but John...
That's what I thought potentially happened, that maybe they live long, but that long?
No, well, I mean, once you're off the heart-shaped herb and you pass on the mantle, then you become normal again.
Yeah. Or you die in battle or some shit.
Yeah, because, I mean, John Carney's character died in an explosion.
Yeah.
So maybe they age slower. I'm just making excuses. I don't know.
In any case, not important.
But T'Challa has a son.
Yes. Do you see?
I thought it was so good.
It made
sense that the fact that Nakia wasn't in the film.
Why she was gone exactly. The whole time. Like, her motivations were never fully explored. Yeah. She gave us it was too hard dealing with his death. But in actual fact, her and T'Challa had been knackering and they had a wee baby.
Wow.
And the baby was... They made sweet love.
Yeah. And the baby became a boy and his name is now T'Challa as well.
Yeah. So, fantastic twist. Also, the mid-credits scene, literally, the movie ends, and the mid-credits scene continues from there.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quiet.
It was cool. Like another plot hole, I think, is if Nakia knew, T'Challa knew, the mother knew, why didn't they tell Shuri?
Well, I think timeline-wise, because Ramonda met him when she came to see Nakia in Haiti. I think that's what they're trying to imply.
Okay.
And then there wasn't time for her to go back and tell Shuri because she dies soon after and there's all the stuff going on. Maybe that's how.
But I mean, we're talking about 8 years here. Five years of blip plus 3 years. In all that time, Shuri didn't know.
Yeah. But also then it wouldn't make sense, like, because T'Challa died, he disappeared with a blip, and then he came back, and then him and Nakia had the baby then.
No, she was pregnant before, because the child is 8 years old.
So he's 8 years old. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Because she's not in Infinity War.
Yes, which people felt was like, and in Endgame as well.
Yeah, she's not there.
They were very upset.
I thought about it. I was like, was she there?
She's not.
She's not there.
Okoye is, and the rest, and in fact, some of the other Dora Milaje are as well.
Yeah, but she's not.
Can I just shout out to Dora Milaje again?
Yes.
That scene in that safe where they come out.
Well, fuck me, bro. The Dora Milaje is the shit.
They are the shit. Best bodyguard team, best army.
Ever. Last thing before we fucking... I'll edit this anyway. what did you think of Okoya's new costumes and shit?
I didn't like
it. I didn't like it.
Why would you hide their faces... To overcome the power.
Look, it is in the comics, but even the comic book design, I feel is better than this one.
I really didn't like her, and what's Aneka.
Yeah,
did not like those.
I didn't like it either.
I know it was. It kind of fits in with what they discussed in terms of Shuri and the tech and all that, but
the Midnight Angels, Nicole. Yeah. Huh?
No, that's a big no for me.
It's just the design. I think if they change the design, I'll be.
And it takes away from their look, their fierceness.
She had to do something. She's not the general anymore.
Yeah, but I think she's going to be.
No, she's a Midnight Sister now.
Okay,
a Midnight Angel. Yeah. So they don't. That's another thing that the separation between church and state. Between Panther and Rula. So they work for the Panther.
I see.
Yeah. They don't work for.
Yeah.
The king.
Where the Dora Milaje is always aligned with whoever's king is.
Yeah.
Which Ramonda brought up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck that scene where they tell her that she's not going to be general anymore. The pain in her eyes. Dude.
And you understand both sides of that argument.
Anyway.
Just. Have I not given enough?
Whew. Anyway. Quiet movie for me.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some shout-outs. Are there any updates yet?
On what?
I know this is
going live. I don't think there's more.
Okay.
No. I think we've... Do you want to start at the top or do you want to start at the oldest?
Oldest.
The oldest, okay. So we have Casual Dog Podcast. Shout out to Casual Dog Podcast.
Shout out to Casual Dog Podcast.
Suleiman, we're still waiting
His
for
name
some
is
more
Suleiman.
He still owes us some more, as he promised.
Yeah, he really puts the lie in Suleiman.
So he says, firstly, away to the brasser.
Aware.
And then he asks us, what movie would you like to watch again as if it was the first time?
Gee whiz. You know what's funny is I saw this question a while ago and I didn't,
you think, didn't about
think about
it at all.
But the first thing that popped in my head is The Matrix, because I was in high school and I went to the atrium alone to go watch it in the middle of the day because it was exams. Mm-hmm. I still fucking walked to Claremont from Crawford. And that just blew me away.
I'll ask you now to go fetch something in the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm lazy. It's too far. It's too fucking far. But that's the first thing that pops in my head.
For me, it's a similar thing of movies and how they made you feel.
Mm-mm.
And I think of something like Inception, just as a cinematic experience.
Go, this guy.
I didn't cuck on his experience.
It's not. Christopher Nolan again. Yo, but when did Inception come out?
2000
late.
In any case, it's something like that, but also a movie like Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I am bound to watch again because I don't want to mess up like the way that I felt
did
watching
watch
it.
I did watch it twice.
Yeah, for me, because we were going to review it, but
those
types of movies are the types of films I would want to see again for the first time, just for the. Like the impact and the originality and all of that.
Yeah.
But Matrix definitely right up there.
Yeah, well, that's just because that's like a core memory now.
Yeah.
Maybe Saving Private Ryan, that was also insane.
D-Day.
Shit, a brick. That was fucked up.
People got actual PTSD from watching Saving Private
Ryan. And Predator. I have this memory of Predator in my house on VHS.
Bruh, that connects to Black Panther. Dylan, you son of a bitch!
Yeah.
Because Shuri proves that she's the Black Panther by basically doing over the top with M'Baku.
Yeah.
Dylan! You son of a bitch! People know the meme.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger. When they do the...
Then you bring it over the top.
Because it's an arm wrestle.
Yeah, I know, but that... Okay.
You see? It all connects.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for that question. And we hope you we answered it.
This is from Graziano. Graziano. Will you be doing a Jurassic World Dominion review?
No. Yeah, well, we did.
Dominion?
Didn't we record Dominion?
No. I don't think.
But we will. It will be in our worst films of the year list.
But tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
Norma C. Mitchell. Norma C. She asks, butter or plain salt on your popcorn?
Plain salt, Norma.
Every day.
Butter's the got original, that stank on it.
The original butter, years back when butter first came out, it was good. Now, not so much.
Is it?
Yeah, there's a difference.
I don't even remember that. And butter, like even in the cinema, when you go to the cinema, the butter, it's got like a... It's got a musk.
It does have a musk in it.
I don't like it. Okay. Well, if someone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that?
They can find us on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, Bicycle Browser Podcast, and they can write to us at Gmail, bicyclebrowser@gmail.com.
Okay. That's it for this week. Stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Browser.